He knows today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, you are in God's keeping. And I get this, and mostly it's from ladies. No, you know, there's nothing here. I'm not trying to pick on the ladies, but I just observed that most of the time I get this from the ladies, that the body of Christ is really hurting. And I hear that. I've heard that several times in the past few years. The body of Christ is really hurting. And I say that with a caution, because I don't, you know, as a Christian, I just feel blessed. And I go through pain just like everybody else goes through pain. We've lost loved ones to death. How many knows death is part of the process? It's just part of the process, and we shouldn't be surprised by death. In fact, he goes as far to say in Hebrews that it is appointed unto man once to die. And so everybody in here, you shouldn't be surprised when you die, because you have an appointment day and you will keep it, regardless of how busy you think you are. Some of you, it's always late. You think you'll be late for death. You won't. You'll show up on time for that appointment. And sometimes it's unexpected, and sometimes it's welcomed. I've seen people that just would welcome death after the battle of cancer or different things that they battled, and at the end of their time, or something like with my granny, it was just old age. She was 102, and the only reason she died is because she said, "I'm done. I'm not eating no more. I'm going home." And they put her in a nursing home down here because the one that she was staying in wouldn't allow her to come back because she wouldn't eat, and they didn't want the liability. So we found a nursing home that says she don't have to eat. We'll offer her food. It's her choice. And so I never forget, I was sitting there with my little granny and in the nursing home, and her name was Rosa, and the little attendant came in with her tray, and she said, "Rosa, now you have to eat." And my granny was just kind of fading away, and she said, "Nah." And when she said, "Nah," that little attendant put those mashed potatoes right in her mouth. And then the little attendant wore those mashed potatoes out of the room. She was serious about going home. In fact, we called him Papa Lynch. He died when he was like 90 years old. He'd been gone for 15, 16, 17 years, and she wasn't happy about it, him being home and her not. And so it was a time that she just decided to go home, and so she left. I'm not sure what God thinks about that, but I think maybe he was just cautious about even bringing her up there, because he knew she was going to have to deal with her when he got there, about, "How come you didn't take me when you took Oliver?" You know, so... But all these things, how many knows, everything we go through in life is a part of life.
Right.
You know, people talk to me about, "Well, you know, this is happening and that's happening." Hey, welcome to life.
Right.
Welcome to life, you know. We were at a family gathering a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was last weekend, actually, and we had a fish fry for Jake and Talon, Dennis, while they were here, and the kids rode off out into the field, and a little while one of the phones rang, and people started running toward the field, and one of the little girls that was driving a four-wheeler, and they hit a rock, and so the driver and the passenger flew off the four-wheeler, and one of them got a big gash, and it came back to us. The kid says, "There's bones sticking out!" And everybody starts echoing, "There's bones sticking out! There's bones sticking out! There's bones sticking out!" There's about 50-something family members there, and I said, and I just sat there drinking my tea. Because it wasn't my kid. No. I just know how teenagers are. No offense, teenagers. But I just know, you know, sometimes we get excited. And I said, "Why don't we get..." And they said, "What are we going to..." I said, "Why don't we just wait and see?" Because they had a group going to check on them. I said, "Why don't we just wait and see if there really is a bone sticking out?" How many knows there was no bone sticking out? See? And so sometimes we dramatize life. We make it more than what it is. Because I don't know why we do, but we want to dramatize whatever is going on in our life. You know, Chicken Little, the sky is falling. Because you get hit on the head once in a while. How many knows you're going to get hit on the head once in a while? It's normal. God brings things into our life. He brings activities to grow us. These are activities. These are ministries, we call them, that we do to grow us up. And then in the midst of ministry and activity, every once in a while you'll see people and they just, "Oh, I can't, I'm doing ministry and somebody was grumpy with me." Yeah, they'll be grumpy. Sometimes you'll get criticized doing ministry. And don't be surprised about that. Jesus was criticized everywhere he went for doing ministry. Even when he was opening blind eyes and raising the dead and healing lepers, he got criticized by other religious people about doing ministry. So don't... And I've watched people, it's new, come to me, and they're, "Oh, man, they're just shooting at me." I said, "Welcome to leadership." you just got shot. How many of us, when you're in activity, your movement causes friction, doesn't it? And if you're moving in the body of Christ, you're going to get shot. It's not abnormal. It's just normal. I wish it wasn't. And then I've seen people leave ministry because they've been criticized and things. But you know what? It's just life. That's a part of life. How many's ever left a supper table and never returned just because somebody criticized you about a meal? I'll just never eat again if they're going to criticize everything I do. We don't do that, do we? You know, you don't leave home because you got criticized. Well, maybe you left one home, but you're at another home. And so it's life. And then he brings problems into our lives. And problems are really good. Problems are a gauge of where you and I are in the kingdom. Did you ever notice that? If you want to know where somebody really is, talk to them in a crisis, in the middle of a crisis, where they're at. See how they express themselves. You can really tell how mature they are, how immature they are, how developed, what kind of a spiritual maturity they have. You can, in a crisis, you can tell all those things. You can put your kids in a crisis here at the church, and you know there's some kind of crisis mode, and I can tell a lot about them and where they are, and about your training or lack of. Crises, problems. God uses all of those to test us. Remember when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were confronted about not bending before the idol? How many know that's a crisis, isn't it? They said, we're not going to bend, we're not going to bow, and we're not going to burn. Our God is able was their philosophy, was their motto. That should be our motto today. God is able. Everybody say that. God is able. God is able. That's our friend, and then that's our enemy. Where it's our friend when God does because He's able, and it's our enemy because we know God's able and He don't. I talked to an old friend yesterday. We had a great conversation, and he's been out of church for quite some time, but he's trying to make his way back, I think. But anyway, he told me yesterday, he said, I just don't have much use for about most people. Most people, I wouldn't give them the time of day. They're just worthless. And I laughed. I said, well, that's terrible. He said, you don't understand. Jack, you're just made different than most people. He said, you got a heart for people. Most people don't have a heart for people. How many's got a heart for people? Let me see your hand. Yeah, see? You're normal. How many feel like my friend? They're just worthless. Two or three of you. Well, thank you for your honesty. Wow, that makes a difference. I'll tell you what, here's what makes a difference. What you think about a situation makes a difference. If you think most people's worthless, I mean, no, in your eyes, most people are going to be worthless. Not worth your time. I just love people. Don't you love people? Be around different people and see their different makeup, their different attitudes, and their different ways. You learn from people that's different from you. And so I just love doing it. I've learned patience from people that's got patience. I'm like, how do you do that? How can you just stand there and gawk around while this is going on? And they're like, Jesus is coming and life's good. Boy, just wait, you know. And I'm like, wait on what? You know. And it's just enjoying the journey where they are. And I learned that, you know what? You don't always have to be doing something to be a happy camper. Sometimes you can just enjoy the presence of God and where you are. And so I learned from people like that, that don't always have to be doing something. And it brings rest to me and it teaches me how. And so I enjoy people. But God brings all these things in our life. And sometimes when we boil down to the end of a trial or something, and God looks at us and says, not this time. This time you'll go through. This time I'm not delivering you. This time you'll take the brunt of it, and you'll be better when you come out. You'll look better. You'll be more mature. And so I don't relate to people that says, oh, the body of Christ is so hurting. That's what I'm trying to say. Because I just believe we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And we although we go through trials and tests and tribulations, we don't stay there. You know, this testing time, this too shall pass, is our motto. This too shall pass. This is just a phase. I won't stay here because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because this is a day that my Lord has made, and I will, my attitude. Chuck Swindoll says, life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of is attitude. What we think about what's happened to us. That's pretty good, isn't it? 90%. Because we're all going to experience life issues. We're all going to experience some of those things. So let's look at it today. You got your Bible? Ready to learn? This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. And today, I can learn what it says I can learn. Jesus' name. Go with me to Romans the 8th chapter. Romans the 8th chapter. In God's keeping. I want to give you a couple of statements. I got four actually that just resonated with me, kind of sparked this series. But one is, God brought me here. It's by His will I am in this place. In this fact, I will rest. Isn't that a good statement? Repeat that with me. God brought me here. It's by His will I am in this place. In this fact, I will rest. I love that. I love that statement. Second statement is this. He will keep me here. Yeah, go ahead and repeat. He will keep me here in His love and give me grace to behave as His child. Isn't that good? I want to show you something. If you're in a hurting place today, which, by the way, that's a normal process. We all go through hurting times. Just don't stay there, okay? That's what the whole process of this is, that you will know that you have a God that loves you and you're in His keeping, so you're not staying in a hurting place. I see people, celebrities on TV, years ago have lost a loved one or something, and they say every day, and they've still got their memorial going, and still it's just eating them up, and they're lost. They can't get past the loss. And how many knows that's not a healthy place to be? They can't get past some past. They can't turn loose. They're hanging on to some hate or rejection or hurt or unforgiveness or something. And that is not a healthy place to stay. And we're not supposed to stay there as Christians. In fact, we're supposed to be light and salt. We can't be light and salt if we're always injured and hurting ourselves. And so we're called to be light and salt. Eric gave a profound word in our prayer meeting this morning. He was talking about witnessing to family and all. And I said, well, in his, he's talking about family members. And I said, you know, I try to witness to family members that I feel like need God. And I just love on them, inject here and there. And go right on with my conversation, because I see so many family members that just keep pointing at their loved ones. You need to get in church and you need to serve and you need, you know. And Eric said in our prayer meeting, he said, you know, we're light, but he said, have you ever had anybody just shine a light in your face? I thought, what a great... In fact, one of the prayer warriors said, boy, you're just flowing with wisdom this morning, aren't you? Because he gave several... But this one just stuck, and he said, have you ever had just anybody shine a light just in your face? He said, you can't... You shine the light on the path, right? And you don't shine it in their face. And I thought, what a great word if you want to witness to your loved ones. Stop shining the light in their face and just shine it on the ground. Just walk along as you're walking, just shining along. And so that's the way we should be. When we're in troubled times, we don't just shine the light in our face, but we shine in a light that Jesus has provided through the written word to look at our path and say, how do we get from here to where we want to be? In other words, we stop looking at the problem and we start looking at where we're going to wind up out here in a healthy place. Now, it starts with a relationship with Christ. Every healthy Christian, I think, has a great relationship with Jesus Christ, and they know who they are. It's important that you and I understand and know and remind ourselves, because the world's always reminding us who we're not. Anytime you see Christians on TV, they're always some kind of back, you know, woodsy, stupid person, aren't they? Is what they try to portray a Christian as. So it says in Romans 8, in verse 1, there is therefore now, everybody say now. Now, that doesn't mean later, doesn't mean it's coming, it could be someday. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if that's your problem today, you've just felt condemned, you felt worthless, you felt like you're not worth living or whatever. You know what? If Christ is in you, there is therefore now no condemnation in you. And so you don't need to be anything to happen, except you just need to start agreeing with God to say, I'm a Christian, and through Christ Jesus, there is therefore now no condemnation in me. You just need to start agreeing with the Word. Well, I just don't feel worthy. Well, you're not worthy except through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And when you said yes to Him, you said yes to worthiness.
Right.
Provided to you by Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's free. It comes with the deal. It comes with the deal. And so you don't have to go around feeling condemned anymore. You don't have to go around feeling like a second-rate person or a second-rate Christian or whatever you feel. Because right now, there is no condemnation in you. Because Jesus has set you free from all that mess. Huh? I mean, if we can't get over hurt because of that, I don't know what... We need therapy. Because that's good stuff. There's no condemnation in me today. I don't care what somebody said about me. As a pastor, I've had people lie, tell lies on me. We had one group that said, well, pastor kicked us out of the church. And I said, you got to be kidding me. We had a group of people and they'd go around doing some stuff. And I said, well, we need to have a meeting and talk about this and see where you're coming up with the biblical means to do what you're doing. And so they left the church and said, I kicked them out of the church. They started their own church. It fell. They went to another church. It closed down. And part of them came back and said, we think you might have more light than we thought. Because we just kept loving them. But they lied. You know, they just lied. I never said that. I never give an inkling that we can. I just said we need to sit down and see where you're coming from doctrinally. And so, does that hurt? Of course it hurts. Especially when they let off like some young baby Christians and they're following this mess because there's some hype and there's some phenomena going on, they said, that, you know, was unexplainable and all, and it hurt everybody. But you know, you don't stay there and you get over it. Listen, if you have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit working in you, you have all you need. Now, here's something profound. One of the guys talking to you yesterday, my friend that said most people are just worthless in his eyes, I said, I told him what I was going to preach on today, and he said, you know what I think why a lot of Christians are hurting is because they're not happy with what they have. I thought, well, you know, maybe that's true. Let me ask you, let's just do a little survey, and you don't have to raise your hand, but let me ask you that question. As a Christian, are you happy with what you have? Are you content? Are you satisfied? Godliness with contentment is great gain. And maybe some of you said, I would be happy if I had, or when I reach, or when I get, you know, when I obtain, when I, you know, when this, at this mile marker, I'll be happy, you know. Well, you won't, will you? If you can't be happy right where you are today. There's therefore now, today, not when you arrive somewhere else, today, right now, there's no condemnation in you. And how many knows there's a thing called the fruit of the Spirit? If you want to do a check and see where you are with the Holy Spirit, there's a fruit check to see how happy you are, to see how on track you are. And I'd venture to say if you're constantly hurting and constantly in turmoil and all, then the fruits of the Spirit is not working in your life. The fruits of the Spirit is what? Love. Is love just abounding in your life? It should be as a Christian, shouldn't it? Don't you love life? I love life. I love people. They're your greatest asset and your greatest challenge in life is people. And with those two things, you can just have fun, can't you? Fruits of the Spirit is what? Love, joy. How's your joy level? How's your joy level today? See? That's a fruit of the Spirit. That means that the Spirit of the Lord is alive and working in you and elevating you and working through you if your joy level is high. How's your joy level? Well, I had joy until so-and-so took it. I mean, those so-and-so can't take it if you don't give it to them. Addie, when Addie was little bitty thing, about two probably, her daddy started doing a little thing with her. He said he'd reach over and act like he'd take something. He said, I got your goat. And just stressed her out. She went in and told her mama, Daddy got my goat. Now she don't even know what a goat is. But Daddy got it. And I thought, that's the way Christians are. They got my joy. They got my peace. That means he said, I'll give you a peace that passes what? Understanding. I'll give you a peace that you don't even have to understand it. And I think a lot of the hurt as I was meditating on this thing is here's what you hear when people are not happy. I just don't understand. You ever said that? I just don't understand why this is going on. Well, Jesus said, I got a solution to that. I got a peace that passes understanding. You don't even have to understand. And here's something. You people that are real smart, you've got a great disadvantage than the rest of us. Because some of us is not so smart, we'll never understand, and we're just happy with that. Who are you smart people always trying to figure it out, you know, and just driving you crazy? Heard Jim Rohn say one time, he said, I'm trying to figure it all out, and about drove me crazy, kept me up at night. He said, now I just tell people when they come to me and say, why is this always happening to me? And he said, the best answer I got, I don't know, things like that just happen to people like you. That's the best answer I got. But I mean, knows as a Christian, we got more than that. He said, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And then he said, this is all connected with your walk. Let me ask you about your walk today. He says, you know what? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. According to the Spirit. You say, well, how do you measure walking to the Spirit? Are you walking in accordance with this? Does your, when he said that you must forgive, did you just line up and start forgiving, for instance? That's walking in the Spirit instead of where we used to walk in unforgiveness in the flesh. When he said that you, as our elder read this morning, give and it shall be given unto you, are you giving your tithes and offerings where you used to hoard it all for yourself? Are you walking in the Spirit? Or are you walking in disobedience in the flesh? When he said, love your enemy, where we used to hate our enemy and despise our enemy, now we're loving our enemy because God said, and we just follow that because he said, if he said I can do it, evidently I can do it. So I'll just follow loving my enemy and I'll struggle with that and I'll love them and I'll feel like a hypocrite because I'll feel inside one way, but I'm expressing another way. That's faith, by the way. But I've decided to do that, and that was the most freeing thing in my life, is when I decided to walk in the Spirit and loving my enemies. Man, that was a freeing thing for me. Such a freeing thing for me. And realizing that, you know, you're not my source. You're not my, if you don't like me, that's okay. I'm a good person. I'm a Christian. I'm God's child. And I'll mess up, and you may have some legitimate things against me and from time to time, and I was just use an aggravating, frustrating tone with the days this weekend and had to call and apologize. And they accepted, and they're here today. Hallelujah. Thank you very much. I mean, no, it's just because I'm pastor, I do get frustrated from time to time. And a lot of the frustration comes from you. I'm just messing with you. But I'm just saying we're all human and it's going to come from places that you'd never expect. But you have to be ready to forgive because that's walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit is saying, what does God say about it? I don't have any say anymore. I'm sold. I'm bought with a price. I belong to Christ. I used to belong to me, but now I'm dead to self and I belong to Christ so I can live in peace and happiness and joy and enjoy all the fruits of the Spirit. Self-control. Self-control. Now for some of us, self-control means I'm going to get out of control and I'm going to get right back in control. Some of you that's just more passive and holier than me, then you just stay right in the middle. Self-control, self-control. But sometimes I veer off. How many veers off once in a while? Wow. I'm in good company today, aren't I? Just veer off and come back. Veer off. But you come back because you know that's walking in the Spirit. And if you don't walk there, you can't have what He said you can have. This is freeing stuff here. This will get you free. Walking in the flesh, but not walking in the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Free from the law of sin and death. A friend of mine that I was talking to yesterday still got some stuff in his crawl about his 3-year-old son that they were driving along and he picked up a gun out of the front seat of the car. They'd had it stuck up under the seat. They were traveling on vacation and he just carried a gun, loaded gun in his car. And the kid picked it up when he did, the hammer triggered on something. It shot him in the cheekbone and lodged in the back of his head and it killed him. He said, I just knew God was going to raise him up from the dead, but he didn't. I knew this was going to be a great testimony someday of how he was shot and how God healed him when the doctors gave him no hope, and he didn't. And he stuck right there. He stuck right there. And so yesterday, he says, you know what, this is, it'll free you from the law. How many knows the law is hard and the law is cold? And the law says this, and he went over this time after time with his children, do not touch this gun under any circumstance. Children, obey your parents. It's the first promise with what? Long life. All he'd have done is just not touch it. Just been obedient. He'd probably still be here today. But in his little childlike mind, and he picked it up, and it shot him in the cheek and lies in the back of his head, and he died. And I told my friend, I said, you know what? The law is cold and hard. The law is just set in. It's the law. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we needed love. How many knows the law of gravity? It says, if you get on this building and jump off, you're going to get hurt. A lot of us ride motorcycles in here, and if you want to ride it, and you want to go 150 or whatever your motorcycle do, and round curves, just get ready, because the law says your day's coming. Law says if you take a gun and load it and point it at your head, you're going to leave this world. See, it's a law. I mean, you run out in front of somebody, it's a law. You know, because everything's in motion, it's a law. But God gave us grace. He gave us grace. It's made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So, as long as we're walking in the Spirit, he said, man, this is being fulfilled in us through Jesus Christ. And all I'm saying is, if you're here and you're in a constant hurting mode, the chances are you're walking in the flesh in some area. And you're going to have to turn from that. And you're going to have to say, I can't handle this anymore. I've got to turn from that and I've got to start walking in the Spirit. And the way you start walking in the Spirit is to say, what does God say about my walk and how I'm handling this and what I'm doing? And start doing that. It's that simple. That's walking in the Spirit. It's walking under the obedience of what the Word has commanded us to do. Verse 5, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. Rehearse. We rehearse what's wrong instead of thinking about godly solution. They set their minds. See, I can't help you there. That's between you and God and yourself. You have to set your mind on something different. If you're hurting, an area of hurt you're walking in, have to set your mind differently. You got an area that you're always being beat up in, set your mind differently. Get in the Word, see what the Word says, and folks, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, that's where their mind is at. That's a freeing time, and when I was born again at 15, but whenever I became a servant of God, then God's presence around me all day was with me from that point on. It's like there's an awareness that He's here and He's in me and He's working through me every minute of every day. It's a freeing thing, isn't it? So when you walk into a dangerous situation, you just know, I've got Him by the hand. Kind of like when you was little and you was out in the dark. And as long as you could hold Daddy's hand, you thought Daddy had better sight and Daddy knew everything. You just didn't. You put your trust in Daddy, didn't you? Well, that's the way it is with God. We walk with Him and we put our trust in Him in the dark, in the light, in the good times and the bad times, in the sun and the rain, as they sang this morning. Why aren't you scared? Because my Daddy's with me. That's why. You don't want to mess with my Daddy. He gets you. You know, then you get up and you're a teenager and you think, boy, that's my daddy. And then somebody said when you come 25, oh, that's my dad. You know, it comes back after a while. Verse 6 says this, and here's one of the key, for to be carnally minded is death. It's a dying process. If that's what you feel like you're walking in, it's just a dying process. It's just draining. It sucks life out of you every day. It's probably because your carnal mind is engaged and you need to kick it out of gear and say, but to be spiritually minded is two things. It's life and it's peace. What is people looking for in America and throughout the world? Life and peace. And they'll find it through saying, I can't operate in this carnal mind anymore and hang on to this stuff. I've got to release that and get to some life and peace. To be spiritually minded, that's part of the fruit. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the laws of God, nor can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That means if you don't please God, you're not going to be pleased. At my house, my dad ruled. Now, he wasn't abusive. He wasn't a dictator. But you know my dad, when he said something, he said it from the heart. He said it with sincerity. And my dad was a lot of fun. That's where I get a lot of my humor personality is from my dad. But dad would just set down the law. And when dad said in the mornings, it's time to get up. You best just get on up. Because if he had to tell you twice, because he would tell you plenty loud to hear it. But you know, if you've been out late at night or wouldn't go to bed or whatever, it's still time to get up. And he would come back in with something to help motivate you to get up. Have you ever got a cover whipping? I can remember him just, you know, whipping that cover, you know, and it's pretty thick and all, but still it hurt because he'd get after, you know, and he'd say, I'd say, I'm getting up. He'd say, oh, I know you are. I can tell right now you're getting up, you know. And that wasn't the way he wanted us to get up. The way he wanted us to get up was when he said, get up. And then sometimes he would get creative and he'd bring water. How many knows cold water on an early morning can do something for you? Did you get water? Yeah. Just, it's amazing how a little cold water in the morning, what it'll do for you. Just lift the cover up and woo! You know, and are you feeling it? I'm up. See? And sometimes we think God said, made suggestions here, but he said, now, and let me tell you, when God said do this and don't do this, if you want life and peace, you just better do it or you won't have life and peace. Just as simple, isn't it? You know, we think about all this fantasy stuff. Life is not a fantasy. Life is real. My son told me a little story about it's a fantasy here, isn't it? He said there's a general and a pretty young lady and a little private sitting on the right across from each other, just right there facing each other on the train, and they went in a dark tunnel, and you can hear slap. And then they came out in the light, and everybody's just sitting there in their seat. Said the young lady thought, well, I think that general kissed me. And the general thought, that young lady thought I kissed her and slapped me. And the private thought, this is a good day. I got to slap a general and kiss a young lady all in the same day. I mean, we don't live in that kind of world. You may want to slap the general and kiss a pretty girl, but we don't live in that kind of world. And it's amazing to me how many Christians think we live that when we become a Christian. That's what we're going to have now. We just, everything, you know, is just hunky-dory. No more problems. No more. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. But he did say they're coming. And then he said this. He said, you know, when you think you have it hard as a Christian, he said, no, the way of the transgressor is hard. So you won't have it truly hard. You know what? Just go out and live in transgressions and you'll find how hard it is. I deal with people like that more outside the church really than inside the church. It's just been living a rough life and now they're trying to get back and seeing the goodness of God. And boy, when they find it, it's just like, we're done with that kind of life. We're done. But God has offered us life and peace through walking in the Spirit. And here's the key. It's not going to happen overnight. Whatever, just like our elder read, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And so you start sowing these things, and eventually your harvest is going to come up. The good things are going to start coming up and producing in your life. And here's the thing. If you plant a little good every day, and you walk in the Spirit every day, how many knows you just, eventually you've got a crop all around you. It's just good stuff around you because that's what you've been planting to. Some of you people just stress out all the time. You, you need to just camp out here a while and decide, you know, I'm going to start following the Spirit. You know, this when I come to life and I start focusing the mind, you know, we focus on carnal things, that's what we're going to get is fear and stress and all these things. Now, I know there's a period of time when we lose a loved one or go through a divorce or whatever it may be that we have to go through, I know that's going to be a stressful time. There's this time period when that's just, you have to work through and process. I understand that, but don't stay there. Don't stay there for an extended period of time. That's not what God created you to do. That's not the benefits. It would be kind of like you having a big bank account and you got your checkbook and you never write a check on it. You just stress out about what you don't have. It would be the same thing. It's not drawing from this. This is for you. This is your inheritance. Peace and life is your inheritance. But it'd be just like you having a huge bank account where somebody says, I'm going to put all the money you'll ever need in an account and you just write a check. You can write it big as you can even think to write and you'll have money to cover it. You say, oh, thank you very much. And then what first need that comes up, you just think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what I'm going to do. Write a check. Same thing. You've been promised life and peace. Cash in on the Holy Spirit. God wants you to take advantage of what He's given you. He wants you to use what He's given you. Life and peace. That's what He's left for you. Are you living life and peace? We should be, because that's what He's promised us and left us if we're walking in the Spirit. If we're walking in the Spirit. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ dwells in you. So, first check you need to make is, do I belong to Jesus Christ? Is He Lord and Savior? At 15, He was my Savior. At 25, He became my Lord and Savior. And some of you may want to argue, you know, doctrine and say, well, if you don't make Him Lord, He's not your Savior. I'm telling you, He was my Savior at 15. You believe once saved, always saved then? I'm not sure. My mama does. I hope it's true. But I know it wasn't the same at 25. When I came back to Christ, it wasn't the same. It's kind of like, you're home, now get to work and start serving me. And so that's what I did. I started serving Him, been a servant ever since. Have I failed and flawed? And yeah, absolutely. Man, I'm flawed and failed plenty of times, but He is my Lord and my Savior. And that's why when we're walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh, we're really serving Him as Lord. When we do fail, He's going to quicken us. I mean, you'll feel it inside. That means ever got a Holy Ghost whipping. You can't. It's like, I can't stay here. I got to do something. You know, I got to have me some relief. He's still giving them. He's still giving them. Okay. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. His righteousness. What He's done for you. He's cleaned you up. He's cleared your slate. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So there's life. There's life and peace. And here's something that I found that people, when we're camping out, we blame others about why I feel the way I do and why I'm in the mood that I'm in and why I have the attitude that I'm in. How many knows you cannot do that? All that is a crutch you're using and it'll kill you. If you go to Daniel chapter 1, we won't turn there today, but if you go to Daniel chapter 1 and you turn in there, you'll see where Daniel and his three Hebrew brothers, they give them, we always refer to them by their given name that, you know, the Babylonian king gave them. But if you look at them, they're slaves, they're in captivity, and Daniel wants to change his diet, and they're real hesitant about that because the keeper says, if I let you change your diet and you look worse and you come before the king, I can lose my head. And he literally meant, I can lose my head. And Daniel says, well, let's give it a 10-day try, and if it's not better, then we'll go with your way. So give it a 10-day try. They looked better. They felt better. And so the diet was changed for everybody. But the Bible says that these four individuals were given understanding and wisdom that was like 10 times greater than the other people that were there living in Babylon. They're captives. Would it be like somebody taking you to some communist country and taking you captive and telling you where to eat and what you'd eat and where you'd stay and what you'd be doing, and all of a sudden you just begin to excel because instead of saying, well, I'm a captive and they got me here and they took me from my home, they just begin to excel where they were when somebody had literally taken them from their country and taken away their freedom and put them in a place that they wanted them, they still just begin to excel because they're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh. And so He gave them 10 times the wisdom and understanding of all the people that were there in their home country, you know, where they weren't captives and they had everything as normal native people. So we can't say, you know, well, they've got me captive here. No. We have to give that away. I did prison ministry for quite a while, and I've seen people in prison. I think, man, how could you be so free in here? But they just bubble over with the love of Christ. And then focusing on winning somebody else, or, hey, pray for old so-and-so. Brothers, man, I'm working on him, and, you know, and hey, I think I about got him there. And they're just giving themselves away in incarceration. They're in prison, but they're free. But they're free. And then you see people out here that's free, but they're in prison. But it's a choice. And if Satan's been lying to you and saying you have to stay there, I just come to declare to you today, you don't have to. You do not have to stay there. I want to take you one more place, then we'll close. Look with me in Proverbs, the third chapter. The third chapter. I mean, those we're all going to have different trials, and some of them's going to be a real crisis in our life. But it comes down to a matter of trusting God, doesn't it? Comes down. And by the way, let me tell you this: if you're walking with the Lord and you haven't been walking real long, and you're kind of, I call it a honeymoon stage. I think Christ brings everybody through a honeymoon stage, and I went through that, and I think it's a time when you're so excited and everything is so good, and you're a Christian, and man, you never knew it could be this good, and all of a sudden, something from somewhere just slaps you. And it's usually from within the church. And I think it has to be within the church, and not all the time, but it's, you know, we'll get slapped from outward too, but I think it comes within, and I think it's an ordained moment from God because He wants to see what you would do if the honeymoon's over. And some people says, when the honeymoon's over, I'm out of here. I can get better treatment than this in the world. And I've watched many just walk right out the door and never come back. But there comes a time when you just need to know that you're going to get a slap from somewhere. And I believe that it's God just saying it's time to grow up. Just like with Job, when he lost his kids, his wealth, and his health, and he said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. How does Satan fight that? If that's your attitude and my attitude when something comes, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. What's Satan going to do to you then? Besides bite his fingernails off in the quick or something. What else can I do? You know, the demon's reporting back to Satan. What else can I do? We took his health, his wealth, his children, his wife. We even worked on her and she told him, why don't you just curse God and die, Job? And he just fell on his face and worshipped. What do you do with people like that? What does Satan do? He can't do anything with people like that. Here's what God does with people like that. He gives them twice what they ever started with. Just hang on. Look over at your neighbor and say, just hang on. It's coming. Yeah. Just hang on. Huh? Now look at it with me in Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with what? 92% of your heart. Yeah. Trust in the Lord with what? All your heart. A lot of people is failed because they quit trusting. I don't understand this. Why would God allow this? Well, I don't know. I don't have the answers and He hadn't told me all of them, but you just got to trust Him. Trust the Lord with all of your heart. And it's that small percentage that kills us. You know, most of us trust in the Lord with all of our heart in most areas, but it's that one little area that we just can't seem to get over the hurdle that just kills us. We just can't trust God that it's going to work out to do this. But He said, you know what? Here's what I require. You got to trust the Lord with all your heart. All of your heart. Here's your phrase. He's God and you're not. That's what we have to think when we're going through things we don't understand. He's God and you're not. And do you trust Him or not? Do you trust Him or not? That's what you have to say. You just got to trust Him, because sometimes I've been so aggravated at God because He wouldn't answer certain prayers that I could just spit, curse, and whatever, you know. And He just sat there on the throne and would just, I didn't scare Him one bit, and He was chilled out. When I got over my little stuff and came back, He was still there. Just sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. I said, okay, I guess I'm going to trust you, okay? Oh, well, fine. Come on back. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your what? I don't understand. Well, quit leaning on your understanding, because you will never understand, maybe. But He told us, don't lean on your own understanding, because if you start leaning on that mess, you're going to have problems that you can't fix. You're going to need therapy. I trust you, Lord. I don't like it, Lord, but I trust you. I think it's fine to say that to the Lord. I hate what I'm doing right now and what I'm going through, but I sure love you and I trust you. You know, just get your feelings out, because He knows what you feel anyway. But don't lean on your understanding, because if you do, you'll fail. It'll drive you crazy. Some things He's just not going to give us understanding for until we get home, or until we get home and don't care anymore. Someday, it'll all pan out. But until then, don't lean on your own understanding in certain situations. I don't understand why they treat me like that. Maybe you just need to change your prayer. Help me treat them like you would treat them, Lord. Huh? Just help me. See, worry about you. Keep your own yard right and let God worry about everything else. I've told couples that just can't resolve their issues. I've said before, well, just treat that your mate like you would, like God would treat them, with love and things, and God will give you a mate. He'll either give you a mate that they'll transform, or He'll give you another mate. And some people don't like that, but I just see what God said, and He says, if you sow certain things for certain length of time, I'm going to change your situation. I'm going to change it for you. And I don't. And that's not advocating divorce. It's just saying that if you'll keep sowing these good seeds, and I've watched women do that all for years and years. A guy used to do some welding for me. His wife was a devout Christian, and he was, his name was Carl. Carl was just a good guy, but he's just, you know, one of them good old Oklahoma boys that just wanted to go out and do his own thing. And so he loved to play poker, and his wife says, Carl, I'll tell you what I'll do. You can go play poker. I won't even ask you. You can stay out late as you want to. You can do all you want to do. I'm playing poker with the guys if you'll just go to church with me on Sunday. He said, I thought, boy, what a deal. So I snapped at that. He said, about 3 weeks, I gave my heart to Jesus and quit playing poker and been in church ever since. Remember what Eric said? You can't shine the light in the face. Don't do any good just standing with the light shining in her face. Shine it on the path and walk it before them. And I'm just saying, it's hard. I know it's hard, but just keep sowing right stuff. Right things. You, on your part, be right. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That's the Bible. Great peace have they which love thy law, love God's word. Nothing shall offend them. So don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, in all your doings, in all your reactions, in all the way you behave, acknowledge Him. If this was God talking to me, how would I react? If God were standing right here, and by the way, He is standing right here, how would I act? What would I say? How would I handle this? All your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I mean, just say, I need some direction here. Well, He just give you the thing. Just acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your path. I don't know what to do. Well, acknowledge God. Say, God, I'm in this trial, I'm in this test, I'm in this place. And I don't know what to do, but you said if I just quit trying to understand it all and lean on you and acknowledge you in this, that you're here with me, you're in the midst of this with me, you'll direct my path. And He didn't make exclusions. Well, I didn't ever think about this scenario coming up. Because we all think our problem's bigger than anybody's ever seen before. You know, we all think that. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Now, I hope that I haven't been not shown enough sympathy if you're hurting. But my call and my position is just to lead you in an area to say, don't stay there. We're all gonna have things in life that's gonna hurt us, but don't stay there. Just say, by the power and the grace of God, He's gonna lead me out. I trust Him. I don't know how. I don't have to know how. I don't understand. I don't have to understand anymore because I am focused on Him. Philippians said He'll give you a peace that passes understanding. He said, but then you got to focus where I said to focus. Whatever things are true and lovely and just and of a good report, think on these things. So change your thinking mode. Change and give Him acknowledgement. Read His Word. Every time you go with this problem, just go in there and say, God, where are You in the midst of this? And look at the Word and see what it says and what it tells you to do. And just begin to walk in that and just walk right on out. I can't read of one Christian that was ever left in a mess that just kept walking in the Spirit in this book. And a lot of them went through a lot of things. A lot of things. But if we're hurting, it's our fault. Because God has given everything that we need to bring us out of the hurt into peace and life. Peace and life. Fruits of the Spirit. Joy, love, peace, gentleness, self-control. Fruits of the Spirit. Are they operating in you and me today? They should be. And if they're not, that's why you're here today. God has said, you know what? You don't have to stay there anymore. You can come out and enjoy the peace and the life of God. Stop blaming others. Stop being critical. And just start enjoying Jesus. And watch Him. Acknowledge Him. And watch Him bring you to a place of life and peace. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for encouraging us. God, we're all going to go through life. We're all going to have to endure pain. We'll all be shot at from time to time. We'll all have people, you know, from time to time that's going to accuse us of this or get in our face or hurt our feelings. That's just life. That's life. That's the system we live under that was created by man when we sinned. And so that's the system we live under. But help us to focus under the grace that was given that we can live by. Help us to be faithful students to read and study and meditate on Your Word, because You said when we do that, we're acknowledging God. We're looking for God's answer in God's book for God's people. And bring those that are hurting today into Your marvelous light. Bring those that are hurting today, God, through this Word. Bring them to a place of life and peace. Give them hope today that you're looking at them, you see them right where they are. And if they'll just turn their life over to You today and walk in the Spirit, You said from this day forward there'll be no condemnation to those that are in Christ. Take away the condemnation. Take away the fear. Take away the stress. As they just begin to say today by faith, that's it. I'm not walking in that direction anymore. I'm tired of doing that battle. That's not my battle. That belongs to the Lord. I'm going to just walk in the knowledge of the Lord and walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to reap the benefit. I'm going to write the check today of life and peace. And what Christians praying and heads are about, if you're here today, I'd just like for some of you, you know, it's been hurting, just to make a faith statement today and say, by just lifting your hands, you're acknowledging God is with you in your trial, and today you're going to write the check. Let me see your hand. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Write the check today. You know what? I don't want to do this. I want to live a life of peace and joy and love and happiness. Today is a new day for me. See? Now, Lord, for all those that have raised their hand, I just pray over them. I pray that by faith they signified that raising their hand, that today I'm writing a check, Lord. Today I'm no more stressed. You've met every need I've had. You've always been there for me, but I take my problems and I love them and coddle them and hug them and meditate on them and focus on them. But today I just lay it on the altar. Help them to do that today. Just as they write the check, Lord, just lay that on the altar. And help them to take a big breath and say, this is a new day. Today I'm free because I'm going to begin walking in the Spirit. I'm going to acknowledge God in this, and I'm going to say, You're Lord of this situation, and I just give it to You, and I'm not stressing over it no more. It's in Your court. I forgive, I give, I release, whatever You need to do today. Whatever I need to do, I just do it today by faith. And I walk out with my burdens on the altar, not on my back anymore. And Father, I thank You, Lord, for all those that made this declaration of faith today. And I ask You to help them to follow the leading of the Spirit so they can remain there. But this day will be a new birthday for them in finding freedom in their trials and struggles and tribulations. Freedom today, September 13th, came. They can look back and say, that's when I got free. That's when Christ set me free. In Jesus' name. While Christians praying, head bow and give one more call. If you're here today and you need Christ, maybe that's your problem. Christ hadn't been in the center of your life. If you need Jesus Christ in the center of your life, you've never made Him Lord and Savior of your life. Would you raise your hand? I'd like to pray over you today. Anyone? It's a freeing day when you ask Christ to come in and relieve you from your sins. Thank you, Lord. Everyone good? All right. Father, I pray that You'll just go with us, lead God and direct us. We thank You for the rain outside. It takes rain and sunshine. Today You're giving us rain. Thank You, Lord. Same with our spiritual life. Sometimes it takes rain and sunshine, God, to grow us and groom us and make us look like You. So thank You for the rainy days in our spiritual life, and thank You for the sunshine. We'll get up, and just like Job, we'll say, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We'll be just like Paul that was in prison and that said, my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Just like Paul, Lord, that made his faith declaration while he was in prison. We say to You, today is a good day. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're a first-time visitor, I'd like